Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. You know, just a reminder to those of you who registered earlier this month for our webinar titled Discerning Women Learn to Discern. That was so much fun. And the entire program was recorded and we put it up online. It's available to anyone who registered, even if you didn't make it that night. And we are also sharing this video as a gift to anyone who would like to support this podcast by donating in the future. So you can go to our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, and make a gift in any amount through Patreon or PayPal, and we'll send you the video link as our thank you. We sure do appreciate it.
We sure do, and I had such a great time doing that. I'm looking forward to doing some more in the future. You know, we always say at the end of every episode, walk worthy. And today's topic is one that should bring comfort and conviction about how to do that in a way that honors Christ. We're kicking off with a two-part series today, and we are titling this Walking Worthy with a Light Yoke. In John 14, 15, Jesus said this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So what did Jesus command? I mean, he wasn't talking about keeping the Old Testament law, nor was he telling us we need to have a works-based salvation in order to get into heaven, but as an act of obedience, love, and reverence for our Savior.
Yeah, that's so true, Michelle. And so many of us have fallen into this habit of thinking that we have to do something to earn our keep, so to speak, even though we know as Christians we don't deserve His saving grace. There still seems to be a tendency among us to think that following Jesus means following a long list of rules. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
Right. We know that Jesus had harsh words for the Pharisees and for those who put a tremendous burden on the children of Israel. They were under a system of works that the Pharisees demanded must be kept or they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. The yoke of the Pharisees is the burdensome yoke of self-righteousness and legalistic law-keeping. A lot of biblical scholars say that the Pharisees had added over 600 regulations about what it meant to work on the Sabbath. That's so much.
Yes. No wonder they called it a burden. And, you know, these people who were weary and oppressed had never heard before that no amount of law-keeping can bridge the gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness. So when Jesus encouraged them to lay down their burden, to take his yoke upon them, they were amazed. The yoke of Jesus is light and easy to carry because it is the yoke of repentance and faith followed by a singular commitment to follow him. And it says in 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." You know, Michelle, some of us have come out of a maybe more of a legalistic background, and it's hard not to go back to those old ways of thinking. It certainly was hard for the folks back in Jesus's time as well. And that's why you're going to find throughout the New Testament many reminders to Jesus's followers to take comfort in those words of his.
That's right. So we're going to talk about the actual commandments of Jesus. And we think you'll find that these commandments are not complicated at all. They're not burdensome, just like Amy just read in 1 John 5:3. And before we dive in, you need to know why his yoke is so easy. First of all, Jesus was perfectly obedient to the law where no one else could be. And he was the perfect fulfillment of the law. Jesus took the punishment for our sin by dying on the cross in our place. His perfect obedience is applied or imputed to us through faith, just as his righteousness was exchanged for our sin at the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God."
Yeah, and in Romans 12:21, Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So our obedience to Jesus then becomes our spiritual worship, And we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's really important. And the Holy Spirit works in our lives to mold us into the image of Christ, right? And we are being transformed all along the way as he works to sanctify us. So now that you know why Jesus's yoke is light, let's talk about how we are to walk worthy.
Right. Jesus shared many ways about how we're to be obedient to him. We're going to go through these pretty quickly, and we have all the scripture verses for you in the show notes so you can follow along. All right, ready? In no particular order, here they are. Number one, forgive. We are to forgive one another, and there's no wiggle room in this command. Mark 11, 25 through 26 says this, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your sins."
Right. Number two, I told you we were going fast. Yeah. Number two is repent. We are to turn from our sins, and we know that all wrongdoing is sin. Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 2 says, Jesus is saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in Matthew 3, 8, he says, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Now that fruit is a changed life. So no change, no fruit.
Yeah, that's important to remember. Well, number three, remain in me and I will remain in you. When you repent and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit actually lives in you and you in him. In John 15, 4, Jesus says, Jesus uses a grapevine to compare our relationship with him. He says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me."
All right, number four, let your light shine before men. Now in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Now in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And Jesus wasn't talking about works here when he talks about deeds, but the way we love others out of our love for Christ.
Number five, settle matters quickly with your adversary. This can apply to many situations in our lives today in relating with other people. When you get two or more sinners together in a room or on social media, guess what? Our flesh can make tensions escalate. I think we've all experienced that. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 25, "Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. Don't let things get out of hand."
Yeah. Number six, get rid of whatever causes you to sin. Now, this one doesn't need much explanation. Jesus was pretty clear in Matthew 5, 29. "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." So no, he doesn't want you to maim yourself. His point is that sin is so incredibly serious that you would much rather be maimed than spend an eternity in hell. And that's how seriously we need to take sin.
That's right. God takes sin extremely seriously. And I think a lot of times we have a very, very lax attitude towards it. We need to take it seriously. Well, number seven is do not swear at all. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 34 through 37, "But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything beyond this comes from the evil one."
Speaking of evil, number eight, do not resist an evil person. So here's another teaching that was as hard to accept then as it is now, I think, Michelle, because it goes against our sin nature not to retaliate. Matthew 5, 38 through 39, Jesus said, "You have heard it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also."
That's right. And number nine goes right along with that, giving more than is demanded. Matthew 5, 40 through 42 says this, And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you.
So true. And as you can tell, ladies, we're kind of going along in Matthew here, and we're continuing with number 10, love your enemies. So Matthew 5, 43 through 45, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous."
That's right. And not only are a lot of these in Matthew, a lot of these are in the place in Matthew where Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. So that's a good place to hang out in your Bible, ladies, for a little while, is to hang out in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, number 11 is give to please God, not to be seen. Jesus talked about not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing in Matthew 6:1. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven."
And number 12, pray privately not to be seen of men. So this goes along with what Michelle just read. So it wasn't unusual to see Pharisees in those days making a big show out of praying. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 7, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is being done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words."
Jesus gives us so many great teachings on prayer. If you ever want to know how to pray, just go to what Jesus said about prayer. And that's what number 13 is, too. Jesus told them how they should pray. And I'm sure we all know this one. This is Matthew 6, 9 through 15. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins."
So good. Number 14, fast without fanfare. In Matthew 6, verse 16, he said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full."
Yeah, and I never really noticed this connection between that and number 15, which we're going to get to in a second, but it's really showing how when you have your reward for, people paying attention to you and saying how great you are for fasting or whatever, that's really storing up a treasure on earth. Like number 15 is talking about the attention of men, that's a treasure on earth. So number 15 is do not store up treasures on earth. And Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And a lot of us treasure that adulation of men and that applause of men. So sometimes moth and rust don't even destroy things like that. It's so fleeting, but that's so important to remember, is to store up those treasures in heaven, not on earth.
Indeed. Number 16, do not worry about your needs. So Matthew 6, 25 and 26, Jesus is saying, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?"
That's right. And number 17 is do not worry about tomorrow. We did an episode last month on being anxious, and here's what Matthew 6:34 has to say about that. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? And I think we need to stop with number 17 there for this episode. We'll pick up even more ways Jesus said to walk worthy in part two of Walking Worthy with a Light Yoke.
That's true, Michelle. I don't know if people can hear my dog in the background, but a good place to pause for a little bit. But you know, ladies, these commands aren't that hard, and yet they are impossible. It's kind of a conundrum. Impossible, that is, without a divine source of power. And we could do none of these things without him. And that's what is so comforting, is that immediately after Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commands," he then says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." So that is just something that we can hold on to as a promise of God.
Absolutely. And just, you know, I want to just go back to that very first verse you read about the we're to follow Christ's commands, and his commands are not burdensome. We've been reading through all of these things that we're supposed to do. And, you know, without Christ, these 17 things that we just read through, that's just a list. It's like a to-do list that we've got to make sure we check off, you know, without him. But with him, it's such a joy to do these things and to be obedient to him and walk worthy in these things and live the way that he wants us to live. So I just found all of those scriptures to be such a joy.
Yeah, and next time, our next episode, part two of this, we'll have, oh gosh, at least 17 to 20 more things. So you'll want to tune in for that. And I'm really excited to talk about those things too, Michelle. But you know, if it becomes a list for you, remember, it's not supposed to be that, as Michelle said. It's supposed to be, you'll go from being a list to those who are perishing to actually being who you are in Christ. So it is just being as the Holy Spirit sanctifies us in our walk. And with that, it looks like we are at the end of our time today.
That's right. And don't forget, you can find us on our website, awordfitlyspoken.life. And also don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and all your major podcast platforms. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Until next time, lay your burdens down, find comfort and rest in Christ, and as always, walk worthy.